Good morning. Good to have you here today as we gather for worship. I see a lot of people wearing red. If they didn't bring red clothing, they may have a red ribbon on. People have asked me, well, why is that? Well, the liturgical color, the church color, we have different seasons in the year. The church color for today is red because it's Pentecost. We celebrate the birth of the Christian church, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the earliest disciples, as well as the Holy Spirit coming upon us. So it's good to have you here today as we gather for worship. If you are visiting here, we extend a special welcome to you. If it is your first time here, we ask you to fill a welcome card out that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. And we ask that you put that in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. Also, a special welcome to Dr. Lorraine Luft, who has been our guest organist. Well, you may not be able to see Lorraine right now. You may if you're sitting farther back, but we've been able to hear her. We'll be able to see her a little while Marilyn Glover's been away. But we thank her very much for her special music this Sunday and the last two Sundays. I do want to call your attention to the calendar, which is printed on the back page of the bulletin. I'm not going to read it to you, but call your attention to it. Do want to point out that tickets for the Layperson of the Year lunch, which will be held on June 7th, will be on sale during coffee hour today and next Sunday. Ticket prices are reduced from what they were quoted last week. They're only $8 for adults, $4 for children under 10. And so if you're able to do that today or next week, please do so we have an accurate head count. We are having this catered, so we need to make sure we have enough food ordered. Also, during these weeks, we are receiving your gifts to the One Great Hour Sharing Offering. And there is an insert in the bulletin today about that. We have our measuring guide over here. We've received about a little over one quarter of our goal of towards $800. So if you do have a gift today, we encourage you to do that. We are going to be watching a video in a couple minutes about that. In fact, it's four mini videos on the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. At this time, I invite you to turn in the bulletin for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively. With glad and grateful hearts, we gather this day to sing a song of praise to God for our world. Our opening hymn is America the Beautiful, number 759 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Pray. On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember all the people who have died in support of this country, those who put themselves at risk on behalf of others. We particularly remember those who died in war. Lord, we pray that for the day to come soon, when war will no longer be necessary, when all people will live in peace. We also pray for the survivors of those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. May their grief and regret turn to sorrow and then on to comfort and peace. May life return to them despite the size of their loss. And help us to show respect to our country, our flag, and its commitments. We ask this all in the name of Jesus, and we now pray as he taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Rather than a longer video today, what they've provided for promotion of the One Great Hour of Sharing offering are very brief, a minute or briefly over or less than that, vignettes that talk about four areas that the One Great Hour of Sharing offering benefits. So we're going to watch all four today since they're relatively brief. So just we'll stop, you know, stop in between and I'll start the next one. So let's watch and see how our gifts to the One Great Hour Sharing offering can be used.
This is Mary. She works out every day for 1 hour. And when she's done, she buys a bottle of water. But Mary wants to make an impact in the world around her. So by saving the dollar it costs to buy her water, she gives it to help change the life of a whole community. Here's how. Mary's donations go towards the building of wells and improving water sanitation. And by empowering people to improve and manage their water sources, One Great Hour of Sharing is able to help children stay healthy, livelihoods improve, and whole communities to thrive. But it all starts with a decision to give. Will you give to One Great Hour? This is Frank. He wakes up early every morning because he values every hour of the day. Frank knows that if he puts hard work into his crops, he will see the reward. A reward that reaches far beyond his own farm. By giving to One Great Hour of Sharing, Frank is able to reach out far beyond his own community to help small villages in the arid regions of Africa by providing seeds, tools, and training so that they can become farmers too and bring food to their tables as well as to the local market, improving both the community and their own lives. But it all starts with a decision to give. Will you give to One Great Hour? This is Allison. She might be a small girl, but she has a big entrepreneurial spirit, and she's always looking for ways to make an extra buck. The hours of hard work aren't just for herself. Allison wants to use those dollars to help empower others. Like Lucia from Central America. As a hobby, she loves to make baskets for her friends. With the help of One Great Hour of Sharing, Lucia has been able to recognize her talent and now sells her bags at the local market. she's able to help support her family and get great joy out of doing what she loves. But it all starts with a decision to give. Will you give to One Great Hour?
Four different ways our gifts to the One Great Hour sharing offering are used. And each one of those vignettes ended with a question, will you give? And question, you know, will you give? The question is to each of us, will we give? And will we be more conscious of the ways that we live our lives and perhaps change some of the things we do so that we're able to help others? That's part of the meaning of those videos this morning. So continue to receive your gifts to the One Great Hour sharing offering. At this time, I invite any children who may be here to come down front for our moments together. Good morning. Oh, you sound more tired today than last week when you... I brought something for you, and I'm wondering if you know what it says. Do you know what this says? It's in German. Does that help any? I know some of you may know what it says. Do you know what this says? This is in French. How about this one? Okay, what's it say? Can you translate it? God loves you. And then I have it in English, which all of us, I think, can understand. God loves you. What a wonderful message to have. But it's too bad if we only got it in this language. If we only heard it in this language, we wouldn't know, we wouldn't understand it, would we? On the day of Pentecost, which is a day we celebrate from the Bible, that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus' friends and followers, and they were able to speak in languages that they didn't understand, but that the gathered people, because people from all over the world at that time had come to Jerusalem, and they were able to hear the disciples speaking in their own native languages. And it's nice to hear other languages at times, but if we don't understand what's going on, it's not much fun. We don't get much out of it. But imagine if we were able to speak a different language all of a sudden and somebody else was able to understand us. How much more important that would be that they could understand us, because we'd make a new friend that way. Think of all the ways that we can say God loves you with our words and our actions. Sometimes actions speak louder than words. Sometimes actions don't require a language. There's no language barrier there. So I want you to think about that. The next time you hear, you know, all we need to do is walk down the square, and we hear many different languages being talked to friends and on telephones and in shops. And just think about how they would benefit if they could understand, and if we could say to them, God loves you. We might not be able to do it with our words. They might not understand us. But how could we demonstrate it with our actions? That's my challenge for you today. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the many, many languages that are used throughout our world. And Lord, we just see a small microcosm of the world's languages here in Malden. We are amazed by hearing conversations going in different languages. And sometimes we're surprised when, if we know a different language, that we're able to pick up words and maybe listen in on part of their conversation. Lord, we pray that we may use the language that we have, languages perhaps that we know and have, to share your love and the knowledge and the grace of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his most precious name. Amen. You may go to your classes. We have an opportunity to share concerns and celebrations with one another and spend some moments in prayer together at this time. We want to continue to remember Lucille Berry in prayer. She's at home and Lana's able to be here today. We want to keep them in prayer today. We want to keep others who are awaiting surgeries and others who are ill. Do you have anyone that you'd like to especially ask for prayers for today? Dottie? Dear friend and former church member Barb McLaughlin has been diagnosed with breast cancer and will be having surgery this week. So we want to keep her and her family in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God. Yes. Edwin has asked for prayers for himself, trying to moderate his meds, and get off his meds and try. And so we want to keep Edwin in prayer today, and we'll lift up Edwin in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? Yeah, Sharon's been numb for quite a while, and the numbness is abating, so slowly. But it slowly came and slowly abating. So, Peggy? Okay, so I want to keep that family in prayer. Any other requests? If not, then let's go to God. Lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being able to come together today to worship you. We thank you that you have heard our silent petitions, and we pray now that you would also hear our corporate prayers. Lord, we are privileged in this country to have the freedoms to worship as we wish. Many people have fought, defended that freedom. Lord, we thank you on this weekend, especially we think of those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country, for the freedoms that we enjoy. We are mindful also, Lord, of those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, that they show us the value of life. Lord, we remember those who, like firefighters, have fought the terrors of flames, peace officers slain in the line of duty, military personnel who sacrificed their futures for our freedom, and ordinary citizens who instinctively reacted with heroism in a crisis, and martyrs who valued truth and justice above life itself. Lord, grant us a measure of their passionate dedication to life, that we may face our own challenges with courage and resolve. We also remember this weekend those who died too soon, with so much living yet undone, the victims of disease, the casualties of careless accidents, the victims of crime, those who by their own hand ended a life that they could no longer bear. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may fully appreciate the time that we have. We also remember with thanks those who just by their being showed us the power of faith, hope, and love, for mentors and teachers, for grandparents, aunts and uncles, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, for faithful friends and lifelong companions. Lord, reach through the emptiness left by their passing to draw us more closely to you. And Lord, teach us to number our days so that we do not fuss over unimportant things or delay expressing our love and respect. Grant us strength to honor the memory of our loved ones by living each day remaining to us with courage and compassionate service to others. Grant us grace to entrust our loved ones to your undying love until that day when all hearts are mended, all families united, all lives restored. We ask all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue in our time of worship by having the opportunity of saying thank you to God for all of his blessings through presenting our tithes and our gifts. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering. Lord, we are grateful that you did not come for just the rich or one nation or one people, but that you came for everyone and that your love is offered to all. Lord, we thank you for that, and as we present these tithes and gifts to you, we ask that you would bless them and bless us, that we may share that good news message with others. They may too know that they are welcomed into your family. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dave Latta is our lay reader today, and we'll be reading the scripture.
Scripture today from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. You want to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's pages 109, 110. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious people who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited, because of all of them heard the believers talking in their own languages. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people are talking like this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are from Parthia, Media, and Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judea, in Cappadocia, from Pontus in Asia, from Phrygia in Pamphylia, from Egypt, and from the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism, and some of us are from Crete and Arabia, yet all of us hear them speaking in our own language about the great things that God has done." Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" But others made fun of the believers, saying, "These people are drunk." Then Peter stood up with the other 11 apostles and in a loud voice began to speak to the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, listen to me and let me tell you what this means. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. This is what I will do in the last day, God says. I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will proclaim my message. I will perform miracles in the sky above and wonders on the earth below. There will be blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will turn red as blood. Before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes, And then whoever calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. These are the words of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard from your holy word this morning, the exciting, confusing, frightening events of the first Christian Pentecost, we're amazed, Lord, that how your Spirit worked among the disciples and how the hearts of the hearers were open to receive the message of Christ. Lord, we yearn that people today would have that same type of open heart. They would be receptive to the message of Christ as well. Lord, we pray that this day our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you, a message that may help us in our daily living as faithful followers. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I begin today's message with a rhetorical question. Perhaps you might think of it as a quiz. What has 28 moving parts and speaks with 24 tongues? It's the European Union. There are currently 503 million people living under the collective government of the EU. Quite a large combination of people. But unlike the United States, which despite whatever fracture lines we may have in this country, it is still one country. The European Union is not a single country, but a federation of nations. It seeks to speak with one voice without surrendering any of the uniqueness of the individual nations. And to avoid offending any one of them, the EU operates in all 24 of the official languages of those countries. The European Commission has one of the largest translation services in the world, employing 600 staff interpreters, a pool of 3,000 freelance interpreters, and 250 support staff. But even with all those linguists, I imagine that there are moments of confusion and complication when a concept being discussed must be accurately and succinctly translated between the languages in a timely fashion. When we consider all of those language groups, and the communication hurdles they represent, it's remarkable that the EU has accomplished what it has. And while, yes, there are some predominant languages spoken, all 24 can be used, and every nation has a right to have any document or any conversation translated into their native tongue. Likewise, when we consider all of the language groups and the communication hurdles that were present in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost nearly 2,000 years ago, it is remarkable that enough information about Jesus got through to the crowd that 3,000 people accepted Christianity on the spot. This morning's text from the book of Acts sounds like it could be the roll call of a plenary session of the EU. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. And there were no trilingual translators at the ready, none except the Holy Spirit. The wonder of it all rumbled through the crowd as they said, "Are not all these who are speaking to us Galileans?" And they probably thought, probably uneducated at that. And how is it that we hear each one of us in our own native language? So the first public miracle on that Pentecost day was instant translation. But translation alone was not sufficient, for the text tells us all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Thus, the miracle of translating the words from the Galilean tongue into the polyglot spoken by the hearers enabled the crowd to comprehend the words with their heads, with their minds, but not to discern what those words meant. There's no comprehension there. The EU has discovered this same problem. That's why they search for language specialists who can not only translate words, but can also interpret their meaning. A translator can go from word to word in, from different languages, but an interpreter also knows the culture of the two language groups and can recognize when a literal translation does not express the intended meaning in a destination language. Obviously, the best specialists are those who are expert at translating and interpreting at the same time. Often, the process and movement from translation to interpretation is seamless and barely noticeable. On that first Christian Pentecost, Peter was the interpreter who answered the crowd's question about the meaning of the translation. He addressed the people and told them about Jesus and the salvation that they could have through him. In other words, the communication miracle of Pentecost happened because the Holy Spirit translated and Peter interpreted. Both were necessary for the people to receive the message. Even today, both translation and interpretation are still necessary for the spread of Christianity. Translation is the work of putting the faith into plain language for people to understand. That is, the what does it say? Lots of books, websites, classes, and sermons do that. They explain what the Christian story is, what we believe, how to read the Bible, what is expected in the way of behavior, and so forth. And often the Holy Spirit is involved in that work. But there is still the need for interpreters. That's because there are always people who say, "Look, I understand what Christianity teaches, but so what? Why should I buy into it?" Interpreters are people like you and I, who are convinced about the great value of Christ in our lives and can therefore answer the "what does the text mean?" question from personal experience. This does not demand that we are especially eloquent or have a convincing speech at the ready, just waiting for somebody to ask us. It does not mean that we have a degree in Christian apologetics, defending the faith, or narrative evangelism. But it does mean that we are willing, when asked, to speak about our own experience of Christ, how Christ has worked and is working in our lives. One of the most powerful interpretation methods is simply stating our own experience and telling why our contact with Christ has made a difference. For example, we might say, "I can no longer be comfortable with my prejudice because Christ is in my life. I have real peace that stays with me even when everything is going wrong." Some of us might feel like saying, "I am less judgmental and more able to forgive because of Christ. I never knew a time when I was not a Christian, but I'm convinced it enlarges my spirit." Others may say, "I know a joy and contentment in my life that I never knew before I knew Christ." Others might say, my natural inclination is to think only of myself. But because of Christ, I can no longer ignore the needs of others. Others may be able to proclaim, the guilt I lived with has been taken away. Others may say that Christ and knowing Christ has put a song in my heart. Others may say, I cannot sin in peace because of Christ. Others may claim that Christ has given my life a purpose. Those are examples, but we each have our own testimony, our own personal encounter with Christ and how Christ has affected and impacted our lives. None of this interpreting guarantees the conversion of those who hear it. But statements about what commitment to Christ means to us personally has a greater impact than the best written Sunday school lesson or the most articulate sermon that explains the faith. That's because nobody can deny our personal experience. Realistically, all they can do is say that they have never had a similar experience. And when they do that, we can encourage them to give Christ a try and see for themselves. In the 19th century, British biologist Thomas Huxley was widely known for his brilliance in his scientific writings, but also for his agnosticism. Sometime toward the end of his life, he attended a house party at a country estate. When Sunday came, most of the other guests prepared to go to church, but not Huxley. Perhaps only because he wanted some company, he approached another guest, a man known for his solid and simple Christian faith. Huxley proposed that instead of going to church, the man stay home with him and explain why he was a Christian. The man protested, saying, "But you could demolish my arguments in an instant. I'm not clever enough to argue with you." When Huxley assured the man that he had no intention of arguing, the man agreed. He stayed and told Huxley in simple terms what his faith meant to him. When the man had finished, great scientist Huxley said, "I would give my right hand if only I could believe that." Although that's a story from a long time ago, it is still representative of many people today who have the same hunger for meaning and peace and hope in their lives. And at least for some of them, an interpreter of the faith like us can make the difference in whether or not they take a step toward Jesus. On this Pentecost Sunday, we remember the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples. Those disciples were common people, just like you and me. The Spirit comes upon us also, empowering us to not only tell the good news, but to tell how it's impacted us. May we have that courage to allow the Spirit to use us to share that good news with those who are seeking, who are lost, who are looking for meaning and hope or peace in their lives. Let's pray together. Lord, we do pray that you would send your Spirit upon us, empowering us to be not only your translators, but especially your interpreters. Lord, help us to share our personal experience with Christ, with others, that they may be able to say they haven't had the same experience, but they cannot deny what's happened to us. Lord, we thank you that you are a personal God, that you come to us, that you yearn to be with us. Help us to share that love with others. We ask this all in the power and name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God, take our lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire, that we may love and serve the Lord and our neighbors. Amen.